This is a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas, 91.3 KUAF. This is Ozarks at Large for Monday, July 8th, 2019. Ahead this hour, hot air balloons are coming to Northwest Arkansas later this year. A new fundraiser, SOAR, will bring the balloons to Drake Field in Fayetteville in late August as a new way to help raise funds for Open Avenues, a nonprofit supporting employment opportunities for people with disabilities. There are hundreds of volunteer opportunities connected to the event, and we'll learn more in our second half of this Monday Ozarks at Large. After our show this afternoon, stay with 91.3 for today's Here and Now. On today's show, in Washington, the focus on China is about trade and tariffs. But in Asia, China's rise is reshaping politics and economies, causing neighbors like Pakistan, the Philippines, and Vietnam to rethink their relations with China and with the U.S. Here and Now's series about China's impact on Asia begins today at 1, right after Ozarks at Large. And the deadline to apply for an Artist 360 grant is tonight at midnight. The grant's made possible through a program of Mid-America Arts Alliance with support from the Walton Family Foundation, designed to help artists in any discipline receive financial and professional aid. Artists in Benton, Carroll, Crawford, Sebastian, and Washington counties at least 18 years of age may apply. You can find out more and apply before midnight at artist360.art. This is Ozarks at Large. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. The Arkansas State Crime Lab is expanding into Northwest Arkansas with the opening of a satellite office. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek got a look at the facility, which should make things a little easier and faster for law enforcement, prosecutors, and defendants.
Cindy Moran, the assistant director of the Arkansas State Crime Lab, shows us around the new facility on Monroe Avenue in Lowell.
They're touching up paint. They have a few ceiling tiles to finish putting in. They're finishing up some work.
She says this satellite office will process two types of evidence, toxicology and drug chemistry.
So when we talk about drug chemistry, we're talking about the raw material itself, the green vegetable material, the powder, the pipes, pills and capsules and those sorts of things. And that's what our drug chemists are going to be analyzing. On the toxicology side, what we're doing is DWI and DUI cases. Primarily up here, it will be for law enforcement and then also for coroners.
For all the other types of evidence analyses, law enforcement will still have to travel to Little Rock.
In our Little Rock facility, we do the full gamut. So we have a medical examiner's office that performs autopsies. We have latent print division, firearm division, digital evidence, so that's computers and mobile devices. DNA, serology, trace, toxicology, and drug chemistry.
But Moran says those last two, toxicology and drug chemistry, make up the bulk of the crime lab's caseload.
So we get about 32,000 cases a year, and 23,000 of those are drug cases.
Moran says she expects they'll be moved into the new facility in the next couple of weeks.
And then the work really begins for us, you know, setting up the instrumentation. We have to validate everything that we do. So accreditation has strict requirements as far as what we have to do before we can perform any casework in the laboratory.
That will likely take another 2 months, but Moran hopes officers will be able to start dropping off evidence in the receiving area come September.
And so this is where law enforcement, they hand carry all of the evidence to us. And so this is where our evidence technicians will receive the evidence. It's all barcoded, chain of custody, and it's all, you know, electronic through our LIM system.
The Lowell facility also has a secure locker system that Arkansas State Police troopers will be able to access day or night.
If a trooper, for example, has a DWI sample and it's in the middle of the night, he has the ability to submit that through the locker system, and then the next morning we can retrieve it from the locker and get started on it.
Moran says all dropped off evidence will then be processed in either the toxicology or drug chemistry labs.
So what you see through here, this is the toxicology laboratories, and so we call this our more of our wet chemistry areas where they're doing their sampling of and extractions of the samples. And then what you see in the further laboratory is where all of our instrumentation is going to be to do all of the analyses. And this is really mirrored the same on the drug chemistry side.
Both labs are outfitted with fume hoods and long mechanical arms that drop out of the ceiling.
I call them snorkels, but they're called fume extractors. So what those will do is those will be placed over this instrumentation and pull any kind of chemical fumes out of the laboratory. So we want to make sure that it's, we have clean air to breathe for our employees. That's important.
Moran says the opportunity to expand the crime lab to Northwest Arkansas presented itself when state police started making plans to build a new headquarters for Troop L.
They said, hey, would you guys be interested in building a satellite laboratory on this property? And we said, absolutely, because about 36% of our drugs and toxicology cases come from this area of the state. So it makes sense.
And she adds, the number of drug cases that comes through their doors has gone up every year.
I think it's a little bit of everything. The opioid epidemic is real. And actually, this area of the state is part of the HIDA region. So that's the high-intensity drug trafficking area region. And so this is a good location for this laboratory because of that.
Moran says having the new lab will also cut down on the time law enforcement officers spend driving to and from Little Rock to submit and pick up evidence.
Which for this area of the state, that's a full day for them. The other advantage is we go to court and testify as an expert witness. And so now we're limited in our travel as far as where we're going to testify in court.
Moran says some law enforcement agencies go to the Little Rock lab every 2 weeks. Others come just once a month. So case turnaround times should also improve with the addition of another facility.
Already our drug chemistry backlog is coming down. You know, we're staffed appropriately now. And so we've dropped the backlog from, it was nearly 12,000 cases. Now it's about 8,000. And as far as turnaround times, we're down to 5 months instead of 9 months. So we're already starting to see this downward trend. And so having these people up here, the chemist people up here on site, that's really going to have the turnaround times up here probably even faster.
And she expects the benefits will be felt across the state.
Now we're releasing some of the burden that's going on in Little Rock. It's just, you know, overcrowding with the number of chemists that we have here. And now we're able to move some of those chemists and toxicologists up in this area.
The Northwest Arkansas lab will be staffed with 4 drug chemists, 2 toxicologists, and 2 evidence technicians, all of whom have already been trained in Little Rock. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Zuzana Sitek.
And by the way, the crime lab has one other satellite facility at the University of Arkansas Community College in Hope. That has a staff of 4 people.
91.3 is supported by the City of Eureka Springs, featuring a variety of activities for the outdoor enthusiast of all ages. Eureka Springs is surrounded by various river and lake waterways, including Lake Leatherwood. This 1,600-acre city park is crisscrossed with hiking and biking trails and a spring-fed lake. Eureka Springs escape information available at eurekasprings.org.
This is Ozarks at Large. The Mission Act, passed by Congress last summer and launched nationwide in June, allows United States veterans greater access to medical care in their communities. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich recently met with Veterans Healthcare System of the Ozarks Director Kelvin Parks, who provided a bullet list of Mission Act initiatives.
The bipartisan Mission Act overhauls and strengthens the Veterans Administration system of medical centers and clinics, says Kelvin Parks, Director of the Veterans Healthcare System of the Ozarks in Fayetteville.
And the Mission Act was launched on June the 6th of this year. And the acronym of MISSION is Maintaining Internal Systems and Strengthening Integrated Outside Networks.
Nationwide, the Veterans Health Administration, the largest integrated health system in the U.S., counts more than 9 million enrollees served by 146 VA medical centers. According to online VA hospital spreadsheets, which compare rates of things like wait times and infection to community medical care, VAs report lower death rates and fewer post-op complications. But the incidence of preventable infections, including bed sores, is pervasive at certain VAs, which could be attributed to either individual patient immunity or neglect. The Fayetteville VA has a 4-star quality rating, according to VA Annual Analytics. But Director Kelvin Park says the Mission Act will strengthen his workforce and build better infrastructure providing a new urgent care benefit, expand caregiver eligibility, and access for veterans to community health care.
What an exciting time to be a part of the VA. Who would have thunk it? Who would have knew that the Mission Act was going to bring about this type of revolutionary change of the delivery of care within our VA system? This is exciting. I'm glad to be able to lead this change in Northwest Arkansas for veterans here in our catchment. I'm just really excited about being a part of this process.
Parks, a retired Navy Chief Petty Officer who's held progressive leadership positions at major VA medical centers in the U.S., says strict rules are in place for veterans to qualify for outside community care under the Mission Act.
Veterans are qualified to receive care in the community based on two criteria, and that's wait time and travel time. For our primary care and mental health of veterans, the wait time standard is 20 days, and for our specialty care, wait time is 28 days, meaning that if we can't see you within 28 days, then we'll refer that care out into the community. And also we have travel time, a drive time standards. For primary care and mental health, the drive time is 30 minutes, and for specialty is 60 minutes.
Before scheduling an appointment, veterans are required to confirm with the VA that they're eligible and authorized for community care. Park says the Mission Act is not a move towards privatization, but rather a broader medical access provision. Community clinics, hospitals, and physicians, he says, self-select to join up with the VA.
We have a group which is called our Care in the Community Network. Our team, our Office of Community Care team, actually go out and meet with these various hospitals and explain to them the processes of how to become a partner here with us here within our system so that we can have them signed up and be willing to partner with us as well.
In Fayetteville, the VA operates a 78-bed acute care facility with satellite outpatient clinics in Fort Smith, Harrison, and Ozark, in Branson and Mount Vernon in Missouri, as well as in Jay, Oklahoma.
There are certain things that I can't provide to my fellow veterans here at this healthcare system. So why should I allow them to drive past other hospitals or clinics when and not be able to receive that clear care closest to their home? So drive times have something to do with it. And I also think that the access time, meaning that if we're completely booked at 20 days, then it's time for us to start having a different conversation or a discussion about you can get the care somewhere else.
To alleviate ER congestion at VAs across the nation, the Mission Act provides veterans a new benefit, providing access to walk-in urgent care clinics.
And right now we have 19 urgent cares within our catchment area of Arkansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma spread out, not 19 total, that have signed up to be partners with us for the urgent care portion of the Mission Act.
Parks hopes veterans, whenever possible, choose to obtain medical care at his VA, however.
The ultimate goal is for us to provide the care here at the VA, and we want our veterans to choose us. But just like me, I choose to have care here within my own healthcare system, but they do have the right to go out.
Veterans approved for community care can consult with the VA medical staff to make appointments or book independently. Veterans may have to pay a copayment for non-service-connected care, similar to VA medical facilities. For urgent care, copayments depend on the veteran's assigned priority group and the number of times the veteran visits an urgent care provider in a calendar year. Community providers cannot bill or collect a VA copayment directly from veterans, including for urgent care. All VA copayments are billed as part of the VA's billing process. Additional Mission Act benefits allow for VAs to recruit and retain more clinicians and expand telehealth services as well as veteran caregiver support.
that's one that's near and dear to my heart as well, because we have so many of our family members that are taking care of our veterans, but there's absolutely been no support. Some of them are working off of fixed incomes with absolutely no help to help sustain them while they're taking care of our nation's veterans. So the Mission Act will also provide some caregiver opportunities there.
The Mission Act sunsets the Veterans Choice Program, which allowed certain access to community care to eligible veterans. In 2018, more than 1.7 million veterans reportedly sought some form of outside community care. Under the Mission Act, the VA projects those numbers could increase by a third. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
And you can learn more at missionact.va.gov. And ahead on our Monday show, Opera in the Ozarks in the Carver Center for Public Radio. The Opera in the Ozarks season is already underway, and there is more than opera, a Broadway cabaret, and much more. We'll spend a few minutes with musicians, singers, and more, and find out more about the latest season of Opera in the Ozarks just ahead on today's Ozarks at Large. A federal judge will hold a hearing on a challenge to three new Arkansas abortion laws just days before they're set to take effect. U.S. District Judge Christine Baker scheduled July 22nd to hear oral arguments on the restrictions passed by the Arkansas legislature and signed into law by Governor Asa Hutchinson. One law bans abortions 18 weeks into a woman's pregnancy. The current ban is at 20 weeks. Another law would require doctors who perform abortions to be board certified or board eligible in obstetrics and gynecology. The state's abortion providers filed the lawsuit, with Judge Baker giving the state until July 18th to file a response. The plaintiffs argue one of the laws would likely force the state's only surgical abortion clinic to close. The hearing is set to take place 2 days before the laws take effect on July 24th.
Are we putting a helicopter on Mars? I'm Caitlin Ahrens, the Pluto Manager with the U of A Center for Space and Planetary Science. And this is Scratching the Surface. The Mars 2020 mission is underway, but with a recently added surprise, a helicopter. The idea of putting a helicopter-type design on another planet has been in the works for years, but it is finally becoming a reality when the NASA budget approved the newest addition to the Mars 2020 mission. In late January 2019, all the pieces were put to the test. Weighing no more than 4 pounds, the helicopter still has a lot of testing before its venture to the Red Planet. So what sorts of tests? The majority of the testing is how the pieces operate at Mars-like conditions. That is, at extremely cold temperatures as low as negative 130 degrees Fahrenheit. Also, the air pressure is different than Earth's. So the Jet Propulsion Laboratory out in California has a 25-foot-wide vacuum chamber to test the helicopter operations at such low-pressure conditions. So what will we do with a helicopter on Mars? The purpose of it is to conduct imaging of the surface to determine the habitability of the environment, geologic hazards, and mapping natural resources for future explorers. The helicopter is set to land on the Martian surface by February 2021. For more on the Center for Space and Planetary Science, or for more segments of Scratching the Surface, spacecenter.uark.edu.
Scratching the Surface with your host, Caitlin Ahrens, the Pluto Manager, is a production of 91.3 FM, KUAF Public Radio in Fayetteville. This is a listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas.
Independence Day is behind us, and the hottest days of summer stretch out in front of us. These are the prime days for Opera in the Ozarks, a nearly 7-decade-long tradition anchored at Inspiration Point near Eureka Springs. The first operas have already been performed, but there are still many chances left to see one of the three main selections for 2019, as well as a few other entertainment opportunities. In fact, there are 27 performances in 29 days for the Opera in the Ozarks session. Last week, three artists and Nancy Price, the general director of Opera in the Ozarks, came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio. We'll hear Blythe Reed and Neil Long sing, accompanied by Luis Menendez on the Mary Baker Rumsey Steinway piano, in just a moment. First, we wanted to know how Opera in the Ozarks pulls it all off, getting young artists from around the country into Inspiration Point, then producing multiple operas and more in such a limited amount of time. Nancy Price says it takes a year-long commitment with Tom Cockrell, the artistic director, beginning to make arrangements for a season the previous autumn.
With planning his audition season, where he's going to go when, and setting up the appointments, I start in August or September with what the marketing materials will be. And there are little pieces that drop in. You know, over time we figured out when we have to do things in order to be ready. Like, I want to get the rack cards done by a certain date so I can hand them out at the governing board meeting in November. Sometimes it's October. So I have to book a lot of things in advance. This year we made a lot of changes to our program. We dropped our scenes program and added a chamber music concert and added a second Broadway cabaret. So I had to find venues for those. We do 16 performances of our children's opera, which this year is Monkey See, Monkey Do. We were in the Fayetteville Library a couple weeks ago. And we take that all over Northwest Arkansas and Southern Missouri. In addition to that, we have two chamber music concerts that highlight the orchestra. Our orchestra every year it's a pickup orchestra. We hire usually about half the orchestra returns year after year, but you know, then we new players, and they meld very quickly. And chamber music is something I've never known an orchestral player that did not love playing chamber music. So this is a chance for them to be on their, you know, focused on in the performance. So we're doing one in the Mildred Cooper Chapel in Bella Vista. That one is July 14. And then on the 15th, we'll do the same concert again in the auditorium in Eureka Springs. And we've done that. We've done a chamber music concert in the Odd for years. The second special concert or special event is our Broadway cabaret. This was something we invented last year. We did it at the Basin Park Hotel, and we sold it out. So being a good marketing person, I said, if we could sell it out, we should do two, because we can't get any more people into the Basin Park. So we're doing the Basin Park again on the 15th of July, but on July 10th, we are in Fayetteville at the Town Center to do a Broadway cabaret.
All right, that was quite a few dates, and we'll go over those again in just a few minutes. Also with us last week were a pair of singers for the 2019 Opera in the Ozarks season, Blythe Reed and Neil Long. Blythe is a native of New Orleans, and she says she recently sang in La Boheme at Florida State University and discovered the opera was on Opera in the Ozarks program for this summer. She's performing La Boheme this summer here and in Little Women, too.
Fortunately, I had already done Mimi and Boheme, so I was able to focus more on the Little Women stuff. But doing them at the same time poses a challenge because your brain is sometimes stuck with the other show. And then when you move to the other show, even though the music is very different, kind of going headfirst into it and supporting it. And it's different singing, I think, you know, between Little Women and Abduction and Boheme. They're all three different composers, so you kind of have to switch gears a bit.
Blythe Reed, one of the singers in this summer's company at Opera in the Ozarks. This is Blythe in the Furman Garner Performance Studio last week.
Ascolta, ascolta. Blythe Reed, accompanied by Louis Menendez on the Mary Baker Rumsey Steinway piano. Louis also played the piano when Neil Long sang for us as well. He performed a selection from Mozart's The Abduction from the Seraglio.
Nur ein feige Tropfe zackt, frisch zum Streite, frisch zum Kampfe, frisch zum Streite.
Neil Long, a member of this summer's company at Opera in the Ozarks, performing in the Furman Garner Performance Studio for us last week. He was accompanied by Luis Menendez, who is at the Mary Baker Rumsey Steinway Piano. We also heard from Nancy Price, the general director of Opera in the Ozarks. Operas continue at Inspiration Point through July 19th, and there are other performances coming up as well. The first production of the Broadway Cabaret is at 7:30 Wednesday night at the Fayetteville Town Center. The orchestra's chamber music concerts are Sunday at 2 at the Mildred B. Cooper Chapel in Bella Vista, and a week from tonight at 7:30 in the Eureka Springs Auditorium. And then the second Broadway Cabaret is Tuesday, July 16th, beginning at 7:30 p.m. at the Basin Park Hotel in Eureka Springs. You can find the entire schedule for 2019 at opera.org.
The 23rd annual Gully Park Concert Series continues this Thursday, July 11th, with Ultra Suede, performing from 7 to 9 p.m. This free, family-friendly event welcomes chairs, blankets, and well-behaved pets. Food trucks will be on site. Gully Park Concert Series on Facebook for more information.
This is Ozarks at Large. Thanks so much for spending part of your Monday with us. Hot air balloons are coming back to Northwest Arkansas this summer. For a few years, there was a hot air balloon event in Bentonville, but that festival ended some time ago. Next month, balloons come back for the inaugural SOAR event, benefiting Open Avenues, a nonprofit that supports employment opportunities for people with disabilities. To put on a hot air balloon festival, it takes plenty of work and there are plenty of jobs. Many of those roles will be filled with volunteers. Kelly Sampson, Development Director with Open Avenues, says there are plenty of volunteer availabilities still available for the big day.
We need hundreds of people to pull this thing off because there's a lot going on. And some of the jobs are a little more glamorous than others, but we need people all day long from sunrise to midnight.
So what are some of the volunteer opportunities?
Everything from helping with the balloons, which I actually thinking those ones might have filled up as soon as we released opportunities. We need people to help with check-in, people to help with, you know, the more glamorous things like trash and restroom cleanup, just all over the board. We have VIP space that we'll need assistance with, grilling for our volunteers, everything.
So do you have an idea of how many volunteers you'll need?
We need about 300, maybe a little bit more. And right now, I think we're about 20% of the way there. So there's a lot of opportunity. Everybody who volunteers gets free admission into the event, and they get a fun free T-shirt. So there's little perks that come with it, too.
How do people contact you that are interested in volunteering?
Yep, soarnwa.com. Just go to the website. We have a link for volunteers, and you can go on and see what the different opportunities are and sign up for your shift and your specific activity.
Was this a certain person's idea to bring the hot air balloons back to Northwest Arkansas?
It was a group effort. Our board challenged us to come up with something that was new and different, and we sat around with several different groups and talked and said, you know, in what other cities have you seen that you like to do? And this idea just kind of was born out of a group.
Would you go up in one?
I actually have been up in one before. It's amazing.
Is it scary?
If I'm being completely honest.
That's what I'm asking.
I wasn't scared at all until we got in the air and they told me that landing, you don't know how you're going to land. And they're like, just FYI, sometimes the basket doesn't land upright. And at that point, I was a little terrified.
And they told you this after you're in the air?
Yes. They were smart. We did land upright, though, and it was perfect.
So. And you don't necessarily know exactly where you're going to land, right?
You
have a goal.
You do. You have a goal, but they all have a chaser vehicle that follows them and picks them up wherever they happen to land because you don't have specific control. It's wherever the wind takes you.
Any idea yet how many balloons to expect?
I think we're going to have about 15 balloons that will go up in the air and participate in the balloon glow. And then we will have a couple that do tethered rides for people as well. So that's another option, a tethered ride, where you're not just floating freely.
Of all the things I've heard so far, cleaning the bathroom sounds like the safest.
I'll sign you up.
What are the dates?
It's August 24th, Saturday, August 24th, out at Drake Field.
We should mention that it's going to raise money.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's not just a fun event. Everything that we raise from it will support Open Avenues, which is a nonprofit that supports employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
And people can learn more about Open Avenues.
Absolutely. You can go. In fact, we have lots of information on the SOAR NWA website. So that's the cleanest place to go, where it's a one-stop shop. Okay. You can learn all about the event. You can buy tickets. You can volunteer. You can learn about Open Avenues. It's all right there. The entertainment schedule is listed and everything.
Randall Shreve, part of the live music.
Yes. He's our headliner at the end of the day. So we're going to have activities all day long, entertainment activities, starting at 9 a.m., the morning is kid-friendly entertainment. We have a magician and some other performers. And then from noon on, it's bands. And Randall's our headliner at the end of the night.
And if everything works perfectly, there will be that glow.
Yes.
Where they,
yes,
they turn on the fire and...
Yes, they're on the ground, but all the balloons light up. And if you've ever seen one, it's the most beautiful sight. That's scheduled for 8 p.m.
Kelly Sampson is the development director with Open Avenues. SOAR NWA is scheduled for Saturday, August 24th at Drake Field in Fayetteville. You can find out much more at soarnwa.com. We, of course, don't know the forecast yet for that Saturday in August, but we do know that the next few days have an appropriate summer feel. The National Weather Service predicts high temperatures in the upper 80s to lower 90s for the first part of this week in northwest Arkansas. Highs are expected to peak in the mid-90s for the next few days in the Arkansas River Valley. Chances of rain, anywhere from 20 to 50%, are also in the 72-hour forecast. Lows through Wednesday night are expected to be lower to mid-70s for the entire region. Tomorrow on Ozarks, more about summer and summer heat. We use our air conditioners more as July begins to blend into August, and all that power can, sometimes in some places, mean a strain on the power grid. The people who research power grids are trying to make those strains less noticeable.
And so it is evolving, and we're just seeing that evolution take place. It is for the better. It is for the better. It's for a more resilient grid that can withstand outages from weather, outages from this growth of more urbanization in our nation and even in the world. It's all of the demographics at play, that all the things that influence it, changing weather patterns, all of this, our desire to be more efficient and less dependent on fossil fuels. All of these are good things, but they're all happening at once. And so we have to be able to manage all of those dynamics.
Tomorrow on Ozarks, the future of power distribution and the role the University of Arkansas is filling in that future. Ozarks at Large, tomorrow at noon and 7 p.m. on 91.3 KUAF. This is Ozarks at Large. The Northwest Arkansas Naturals will open a three-game set with the Arkansas Travelers in North Little Rock tonight. Over the weekend, the Nats split a four-game series with Tulsa in Oklahoma. The Naturals will return to Arvest Ballpark in Springdale Thursday night for the beginning of a four-game series against the Tulsa Drillers. First pitch for that series opener on the 11th, set for 7:05. Just before the Independence Day holiday, Maria Fassi was named the SEC Female Athlete of the Year. She captured this year's NCAA Individual Golf Championship that was held at the Blessings in Fayetteville this spring. She becomes just the second woman ever from the University of Arkansas to earn that honor. Distance runner Amy Yoder Begley won the award in 2001. Five men, by the way, from the University of Arkansas have won the SEC Male Athlete of the Year award. Now, you might not be able to drive, chip, or putt as well as the best golfers, but you can still play around and help out the Rogers Public Education Foundation later this summer. The third annual golf tournament, sponsored by the foundation, is August 30th. That's the beginning of the Labor Day weekend at Lost Springs Golf Club in Rogers. All proceeds raised will be directed towards the teachers and students in the Rogers Public School System. You can learn more at rogerspef.com/golf tournament. Think Public Education Foundation. RogersPEF.com/golf tournament. A pair of former Razorback basketball players will continue their careers with new NBA teams. Bobby Portis, who played for the Arkansas Razorbacks from 2013 through the spring of 2015, will play next year for the New York Knicks after signing a new contract. Patrick Beverley will be playing for the LA Clippers next year. He played for the Razorbacks from 2006 through 2008. The New York Times bestsellers list keeps score on fiction and nonfiction sales. And this week, the top seller in the country, again for fiction, is Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. The novel has now spent 42 weeks on the bestseller list. Delia Owens will discuss the book at the Fayetteville Public Library later this month. She'll sit down with me for a conversation that's open to the public Saturday afternoon, July 20th, beginning at 3. Copies of the book will be available for purchase and signing after our conversation. Library officials say they expect a big turnout for the event. Seating will begin at 2:30 that afternoon, seats available on a first-come, first-served basis. And the Scott Family Amazium is keeping track of its birthdays, and the 4th is approaching. A week from today, the 15th, the Amazium will celebrate from 10 until 5. If you're a member of the museum, you can start even earlier at 9 a.m. Organizers say keeping with tradition, Mix Mash Birthday Blast will feature special hands-on activities throughout the day to help celebrate the occasion. Guests can make cookies, I'm using air quotes, cookies from homemade Play-Doh in the cookie kitchen, design and build a birthday kaleidoscope, create pop art with bubble wrap, and much more. Guests can turn their creativity loose decorating a giant cake that will be built from cardboard corrugate and various types of frosting experiments. I don't think you eat that either. More details about all of it at amazium.org.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs. Louis Jordan could do it all. Vocalist, saxophonist, songwriter, bandleader. He even acted in early prototypes of music videos and was a dancer, too. The Brinkley native was also a great musical influence. Those considered influences themselves admit Jordan influenced them. Chuck Berry, B.B. King, Ray Charles, James Brown, and many more. Before his musical influence came Jordan's broad musical popularity. His innovative sound spawned more than 50 chart hits. In fact, in the 1940s, a Jordan song held the number one spot for a combined 113 weeks. That's more than 2 years solid with Jordan songs on top. And though the name Louis Jordan has faded somewhat from the public consciousness, many of his songs are embedded in Americana. Caledonia Boogie, Let the Good Times Roll, Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens. One of the Monroe County natives most memorable is his song, Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby. Jordan added Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby to his set list in the summer of 1943, and it rarely left them for the next three decades. The song was still new to the band when it received the big push of being featured by Jordan in the Hollywood movie Follow the Boys. The film features a variety of performers, including W.C. Fields, Jeanette McDonald, and Orson Welles. Jordan stars as George Raft in his scenes in the movie, wherein Jordan agrees to play an impromptu set to entertain a segregated all-black regiment. Offstage, Raft and Jordan found they both shared fond memories of Hot Springs in Jordan's home state. Another song with Jordan and the Stimpany Five has Raft tap dancing in the rain as they play Sweet Georgia Brown. The 1944 movie appearance was one of several Louis Jordan would do, including starring in his own movies. He and the Timpani Five also starred in their own song-length soundies, which were early versions of music videos. Jordan's Follow the Boys cameo for Universal Pictures came after he was considered for another Universal project. It was described by its would-be producer Lou Levy as an all-black musical that would avoid the alleged Uncle Tom tendencies found in similar releases Cabin in the Sky and Stormy Weather. Unfortunately, this film never came to fruition. But Follow the Boys, no doubt, helped raise the profile of the song Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby, as well as Louis Jordan himself. But he and his Timpani Five were staying plenty busy on the concert circuit as well. At one point, Jordan was dedicating Is You Is to actor Errol Flynn, who was in the midst of a paternity scandal. The version of Is You Is or Is You Ain't heard here underscores how popular the song had become. It's sung by Tom the Cat in the 1946 Tom and Jerry cartoon Solid Serenade. Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby has been recorded by Frank Sinatra, Dinah Washington, Lionel Hampton, and Nat King Cole, among many others. Some of Jordan's duet partners on other songs have also tried their hands, Ella Fitzgerald, Bing Crosby, and Louis Armstrong. The version here from the 1960s is by Paul Lovelace on Jonesboro's Alley Records out of Craighead County.
Seems my flame in your heart's done gone out.
Others have recorded the song too, such as the Andrews Sisters, who also appeared in the movie Follow the Boys, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, Glenn Miller, Diana Krall, and B.B. King. And somehow, well over three decades later, versions of the song Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby appeared on two different releases by Little Rock bands in 2007. Heard right now is Nasty Abbott's version from their disc Straight for Fun. Heard next, the Monk's version of Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby closes out their album, Sing Dirty Songs. Another testament to the song's broad appeal, Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby became a number one hit for Louis Jordan, but on the country charts for 5 weeks straight. And it wasn't his only country chart topper. Jordan sold millions for Decca Records, which would eventually become the huge media conglomerate MCA Universal. After being dropped by Decca in the mid-1950s, after more than 15 years, Jordan recorded for a handful of other labels. He also continued recording versions of Is You Is throughout his career, including on V-Disc for the U.S. Armed Forces during World War II, in the 1950s, 1960s, and up to his last solo recordings in France in late 1973. Is you is, or is you ain't my baby. Louis Jordan died February 4th, 1975, in Los Angeles, California. Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby was performed instrumentally at his funeral service. And well and beyond even a pervasive song like Is You Is or Is You Ain't, more than a century after his birth, the incredible influence of Louis Jordan is still being tallied. Here in its entirety is rhythm and blues pioneer Louis Jordan of Brinkley with a version of Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby recorded in the mid-1940s, especially for the United States Armed Forces V-Disc project during World War II.
Gal's always late anytime we have a date, but I love her. Yes, I love her. I'm gonna walk right up to her gate and see if I can get it straight, 'cause I want her. I'm gonna ask her, is you is or is you ain't my baby? Way you acting lately makes me doubt. You is still my baby, baby. Seems my flame in your heart's done gone out. A woman is a creature that has always been strange. Just when you're sure of one, you'll find she's gone and made a change. Is you is or is you ain't my baby? Maybe baby's found somebody new. Or is my baby still my baby true?
musical pioneer Louis Jordan of Brinkley in Monroe County with Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby, recorded especially for the United States Armed Forces V-Discs during World War II in the mid-1940s. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
Arkansongs is a production of Experiment Station Studios. Producer is Keith Merks. Arkansongs, since 1998.
100 years ago this month, Arkansas became the 12th state to ratify the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. The League of Women Voters is celebrating the centennial with a party Saturday, July 27th at Mermaids in Fayetteville. For more information or to buy tickets, 445-8750. Or you can search online for League of Women Voters of Washington County, Arkansas, then click on events. And the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks, hosting its annual Firefly Fling on Saturday, July 20th, as the garden will transform into a land of imagination. That's from 6 until 10 that night. The Firefly Fling Festival includes Ferry House Building, nature stations, a hula hoop dance party, crafts, and live music by the Firefly Fling Band, and the Odds. You can learn more at bgozarks.org. Support for KUAF comes from the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal, featuring the 2019 polling issue, Largest Mortgage Lenders, plus local business news in Northwest Arkansas. The current edition and subscription information available at 725-0394 or nwabusinessjournal.com.
This month's Short Talks from the Hill, a podcast of the University of Arkansas, features Caitlin Ahrens, a PhD candidate at the Arkansas Center for Space and Planetary Sciences and host of Scratching the Surface on KUAF. She discusses her work as the university's Pluto Lab Manager and some exciting developments happening in space exploration.
We have 5 very special chambers. We have my Pluto chamber, but we also have 2 Mars chambers, one for astrobiology purposes and one for geologic purposes. We have a Titan chamber, which is our largest chamber. It takes up practically 2 stories in our lab. So Titan is Saturn's largest, coldest moon. And then we have the Venus chamber, which is our hottest, tiniest little chamber as well.
To listen, visit the On Air and Programs link at KUAF.com or visit researchfrontiers.uark.edu.
And that's almost all the time we have for this Monday, July 8th, 2019 edition of Ozarks at Large. Contributors to our show today included Zuzanna Sitek, Jacqueline Froelich, and Timothy Dennis mastered our show today. Scratching the Surface is written and hosted by Caitlin Ahrens, and it is produced by Pete Hartman in the Nancy Blair Operations Studio at the Carver Center for Public Radio. Arkansongs comes to Ozarks Large through our partnership with KUAR, and additional content in today's show also provided by our colleagues at KUAR Public Radio for Little Rock and Central Arkansas. Our theme is titled First Hurrah, and it is written and performed by Daryl Sean. Daryl's latest recording is titled Safe in Sand. You can find out more about Daryl at darylshawn.com. And if you subscribe to Daryl on Facebook or through Instagram, you can often find him playing live music right there on social media with his guitar. This is a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Hiawassee. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kelms. Thanks so much for spending part of your Monday with us. We will be back with you tomorrow, another brand new edition of Ozarks at Large at noon and 7. We understand you can't always be by the radio at noon and 7, so we have made it available for you to subscribe to a free podcast of Ozarks at Large through services like Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. Absolutely free. Or you can find past editions of our show online at ozarksatlarge.com, and you can use links to send those to friends and family. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great rest of your Monday.